8 on the Highway to Hell. This is Brad Friedman here on the Brad Show on Raw Radio. The Highway to Hell, that is music for our upcoming guest, the infamous freeway blogger. He's going to be with us in a few minutes, but Ray McGovern, 27-year CIA analyst, retired now, worked for... Let's see, administrations from Kennedy to George H.W. Bush. He was kind enough to stick with us here to answer another question or two that, boy, I knew if I didn't keep you over, Ray, you still there with us?
Yeah, I'm still here, and I like the music.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. We try to keep it lively around here. It's the least we can do. Pretty serious topics, frankly, but if you can't have fun, well, I knew that I would be... roasted alive by the Brad bloggers if I didn't give you the opportunity to answer that caller's question just before the bottom of the hour, which I realize opens up a completely new can of worms, this 9/11 question.
Well, Brad, it's one that I've been often asked, and I can simply say, after looking at what I know of the evidence, how I feel about it, not the final word, nobody... claims infallibility, but here's how I come at it. What I suggest to everyone is that they read one important book, and that is David Ray Griffin's book, which is titled The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. This is a professor from a theology faculty in California, now retired, no access to Grind at all. And his critique of the 9/11 Commission report makes it look more and more like a deliberate cover-up.
Now,
there are so many unanswered questions, including the one that our friend Mr. O'Bree just asked. The one that grips me the most, frankly, is the president sitting there reading the book. Okay, now he's been told what happened, and the first Secret Service agent is quoted as saying, "We're out of here." Okay. But they're not out of there. The president lingers, and no Secret Service or White House staffer comes to extricate the president. Now, put yourself in this Secret Service position. They know what's happened, okay? They know, everyone knows where the president is. Why was that one agent overruled? Why was he reassured? No, you can let the president stay here. It's going to be all right. Let him finish reading the book. That is unconscionable and suggests to me that his boss, the Secret Service agent's boss, knew more than any of us about the fact that there was no danger to the president down there in Florida. Then there are other things. Building 7 in New York. Why did that implode, you know?
But
it wasn't hit by any planes. And then the real murky thing is Cheney's role, you know? Cheney, as you know, insisted on being with Bush when he testified. I think there's a likelihood, and this is just speculation on my part, there's a likelihood that Cheney knew a lot more than Bush did, and Bush was just happy to have Cheney along with him when the 9/11 Commission made that very polite inquiry and asked both of them questions. So where does this leave us? It's really difficult for me and most Americans, I believe, to believe that the president or the vice president would commit so heinous a crime as to either permit or even plot such a terrible event. But who would have believed that these same characters would have started an unprovoked war on a pile of what they knew to be lies, resulting in 1,700 service people already killed, about 12,000 maimed, not counting the Iraqis, as if the Iraqis don't count. So what I'm saying here is that it becomes easier and easier to believe the worst when one looks at the cynical way, not only with the cynical way that this war was initiated, but the cynical way that 9/11 itself was exploited to justify, in quotes, this war. You'll recall that the trauma of the American people was exploited by the White House spinners who suggested that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11, and at the time of the war, fully 69% of the American people believed that to be the case, namely that Saddam Hussein was in some measure responsible for 9/11. That is heinous enough, that cynical exploitation of our trauma, but it may go even deeper, it may be even more explosive.
You say, and boy, there's so much to talk to you about, Ray. I hope you'll come back, because It's great talking to you. You say that as he's sitting in the classroom that, well, how do I phrase this here? You suggest there's a cover-up. So I realize this may be a speculation only on your part, but from what you know, this cover-up you refer to, is it a cover-up concerning the way they dealt with what happened down there in Florida after the, you know, the planes hit the building, or is a larger cover-up that the Bush administration or others within it actually knew about this beforehand, may have even had a hand in it?
Brad, there are about 25 unanswered questions of great moment. In other words, these questions remain unanswered. Why? Because the administration will not answer them. Not that the information is not knowable, but the administration will not answer them. And the 9/11 commissioners, they're all establishment types, and after the convivial exchanges among them, the 10 of them, over a period of 18 months, they came to the conclusion that it's best not to blame anybody, because if we blame the poor slob at the bottom who failed to enter the terrorist names into the computer, then, you know, we really have to attribute some blame to the president, because he was, after all, warned about 32 times during the summer of 2001 that something really bad was going to happen, and he did not.
No, Ray, you're mistaken. That was a historical note, that presidential brief. I don't know where you're getting your news, Ray.
Thank you, Condi. Thank you very much. Now go back to the State Department.
Now, you actually, you read that brief, and you actually prepared briefs like that, presidential daily briefs, for a number of administrations. When you saw that actual brief, did you look at it and say, oh, that's a historical note, or did you say, or did you see it and say, people should have, should be running around with their hair on fire after seeing that Osama bin Laden determined to, whatever it said, crash buildings into planes?
Well, that's it. You need to read no further than the title. The title was Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S. You know, it wasn't like last year or 2 years ago, as Condi Rice tried to suggest. Even the first panel, the joint panel, House and Senate, pointed out that there were fully 12 reports showing that terrorists were very interested in crashing planes into, hijacking them and crashing planes into buildings. So Condi was not telling the truth in that respect, and about her record, is not very distinguished for truth-telling.
All right. Last question here, and, boy, like I say, hopefully we'll get you back. Here we go. Kira in our chat room, our hostess tonight in the bradblog.com open thread. Her question essentially is, what do you think when you hear the Bush administration blaming the CIA, blaming the FBI for bad intelligence, saying that it was basically their fault? I mean, you served with the CIA proudly for 27 years. Did the CIA get it wrong, or do you hear that, and does it tick you the hell off to no end when you hear him blaming the CIA for what it is that he did?
Well, Brad, it makes me very sad, frankly, because all you have to do is read a couple of hundred pages into that Silverman Robb report or the Senate report done by Pat Roberts' people to realize that the intelligence was incredibly lousy. The tradecraft was sophomoric. The analysis was just, you know, I wouldn't hire anybody that did that kind of analysis. So was the intelligence bad? It was terrible. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. Why was it so bad? Well, there are two answers to that. One is that the administration deliberately pressured people, deliberately, as the British memo says, the intelligence was being fixed around the policy, and George Tenet, to his great discredit, the head of the CIA, cooperated in that effort. And so that's half of the answer. The other half is, well, how could he have the willing acquiescence or complicity of top-level intelligence officers to do this? And the answer to that is that there's been a whole generation during which people have been promoted and moved into managerial positions because they smelled which way the wind was blowing and trimmed their analytical sails accordingly. It started in 1981 with Bill Casey and Bobby Gates, and right now you have the inevitable result of a system where people sycophants are moved upward because they know the right answers, and they'll tell the president what the president wants to know. And that is, if you're going to have that in an intelligence organization, you might as well just abolish it, as Dan Moynihan suggested years ago, and start anew.
Ray McGovern, thanks for being with us tonight. Ray is a 27-year CIA analyst. He knows whereof he speaks. His upcoming books are Neoconned and Neoconned Again. You can order them by sending email to order@neoconned.com, or you can call toll-free 877-447-7737. Did you get that, Kira? I'll give it to you later if you didn't. Ray, thanks for joining us. Thanks for giving us a good chunk of your Saturday night and for hanging over an extra few minutes with us. Really appreciate it. You can keep an eye out for Mr. McGovern this Thursday, right? Thursday at 2 Eastern Time for the Downing Street Minutes hearings held by the great John Conyers. And please, guys, call C-SPAN. Ask them to carry these hearings. Thank you, Ray. Hope we can have you again real soon.
It was my pleasure, Brad.
All right. Have a great night. All right, we've got just moments here, Freeway Blogger, the legendary, the one, the only Freeway Blogger. Check him out at freewayblogger.com. Coming up, I have to do some business very quickly. This portion of the Brad Show is made possible in part by seeingtheforest.com. Are you seeing the forest for the trees? Are you sick of decoding bush speak to tell his lies from his other lies? The Seeing the Forest weblog is here to help you make sense of all the growing madness in today's bushed up world. Seeing the Forest is a weblog for liberals who are fed up with the bush and with Bush and the right. And we've got a special eye trained on, yes, they do, and we're going to have them on to talk about this sometime, on the mysterious so-called foundations and think tanks and special interest groups that always seem to be behind every little thing that happens on the right. As an added bonus, seeingtheforest.com has a monster number of links to other progressive blogs, making Seeing the Forest a great starting point for people who want to learn how to fight back. Add seeingtheforest.com to your list of daily must-reads. Seeingtheforest.com, a weblog for liberals who are fed up with Bush and the right. And hey, who isn't? I know I am. Visit Seeing the Forest at seeingtheforest.com. We appreciate you guys hitting our sponsors as much as you can. This thing is expensive, and the credit card only lasts for so long. But never mind that. I don't want to bring that up to you. Oh, did I mention? Stop by bradblog.com or bradshow.com. And make a donation of $100 or more, you will get a hand sign. I'm telling you, this thing is amazing. Did George W. Bush steal America's 2004 election? Essential documents. This thing by Bob Petraeus, he will sign it personally for you. Everything you ever wanted to know to answer those jerks who tell you there is no evidence. The evidence is right here, and we thank Mr. Petraeus for helping us out by donating a few of those books as fundraisers. All right, let's see. We got Freeway Blogger on the line. The legendary Freeway Blogger, sometimes known as Scarlet P, has been blogging the freeways up and down the West Coast, lots of them, for a little over 2 years. Before that, he clothed the Northwest Sierra Madres, and I don't doubt it, via www.taketothehills.org. The Freeway Blogger, some of whose work can be seen at freewayblogger.com, has been making a lot of noise since the world, after all, is his blog, often reaching thousands of readers a minute, which is more than I can say for a lot of bloggers I know out there, like maybe myself. He hits the streets with some cardboard, some duct tape, and a pithy phrase or two. And tonight, the man, the legend, Freeway Blogger, joins us to share some of his secrets. Oh, Freeway, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. You're not going to reveal your real name tonight, are you, Freeway Blogger?
No. That would be unwise, and I'm in an undisclosed location.
I see. Well done. Do I call you Freeway or Mr. Blogger?
Freeway's fine.
Freeway's fine. All right. Hey, we are going to share some of those secrets of what you do. And guys, if you're not familiar with Freeway Blogger by now, go to freewayblogger.com and check out what this guy is up to. He shares one of his secrets on his website. On the front page, he explains how freeway blogging works. He says, here's how it works. When you put a sign on the freeway, people will read it until someone takes it down.
There you go. That's pretty much the heart and soul of it. The codicil to that is the harder it is to get to, the longer it's going to stay up.
I see.
And a big part of the dynamic is driving around and looking for places that would make good sign-hanging spots.
Aha. What does make a good sign-hanging spot?
Easy to see, difficult to reach. The major dynamic of the freeway is that it's a courseway. You are pretty much stuck on the path you're on. So if you see something, say, on the other side of the freeway, it can take you up to 20 minutes, 20 miles, you know, to get to it. The lines of sight are very important when you're driving. Everyone's looking the same way. So if you've got something on the other side of the freeway facing backwards, so to speak, nobody who could reach it will even see that it's there, provided there's something as, you know, minimal as a bush in its way. The thing about freeway blogging is that, one, it's incredibly cheap.
Right.
All it takes is cardboard and paint.
Yep.
And two, because freeways being those magical things that they are, when you put a sign up, tens of thousands of people will see it in a day. And I've had signs that have literally been seen by millions of people that cost me, you know, 10 cents to make. Mm. And it's like this incredible chink in the armor of the information age, you know? So anyone listening, if they wanted, provided you have to be near a major urban area, but if you wanted to reach a quarter of a million people tomorrow with a message, you could do it by painting 10 or 15 signs.
Yeah, I mean, it's some of the, and I think one of the secrets to many of your signs is their simplicity. I think you've got a photo of one on your front page. Free speech, try it sometime. How long did that sign stay up? And actually, do you track how long these signs stay up?
Yeah, when I can. The durational aspects of the sign are size, content, and placement. The bigger a sign is, the quicker it's going to come down, almost no matter what it says. So what I usually try to do with signs is make them just large enough to be read, and they stay up longer. The longer a sign stays up, the more effective it is because the more people read it. A big problem with the left has been a preponderance of using bed sheets. And bed sheets are simply the wrong way to go about it.
What's wrong with bed sheets?
Well, they billow.
Yeah.
One, they're difficult to paint on, and they're difficult to attach. And they're difficult to read. They're spectacular in as much as they're a spectacle. People will see them, but they'll come down very quickly for precisely that reason. Most of the signs I put up, and I've put up a lot.
I know you have.
Have been maybe 2 feet by 4 feet pieces of cardboard placed along either on overpasses or the peripheries of the freeways that have very simple messages, like Osama bin Forgotten. The war is a lie.
You had a great
Osama
one.
Osama who? I love putting up signs that say Osama who. And thanks to the state of this country's politics and media, you know, I've been putting them up for about 2 years now.
And you don't find yourself with a lack of things to write about?
No, not until these guys are gone.
Yeah.
You know. When I started taking clothing up to the Sierra Madres, which was about 1999, it was done on the basis of this question I asked myself, and that is, what is the most useful thing I can do to alleviate human suffering given the resources I have. And those resources were essentially a four-wheel drive vehicle, a taste for adventure, let's say, and a network of friends. And I decided to collect warm clothing, pack the truck as tight as I can, and then go find the poorest, coldest, most isolated people I could. And I had heard about a cholera epidemic up in the Sierra Madres, and I thought, well, that's where I'll go. And the first time I did it, I drove forever, not knowing where I was going or anything.
Actually, Freeway, hold that thought. I got to take a break. He's talking about taketothehills.org, and we'll talk more about that and the genesis of the Freeway Blogger after this break. Hang in there, Freeway.
Raw Radio. Radio. Radio.
If you're one of the millions of Americans losing their hair, chances are you've heard of Avacor. You've heard that Avacor has helped thousands of people just like you successfully regrow their hair. So why haven't you called? We know there's a lot of confusing information about treatments for baldness, but you can be assured that Avacor really works. We're permitted to say that on the air because our clinical studies and claims of success have been independently reviewed and proven true. That's right. Avacor is a proven three-step system that helps people regrow their hair every day, even people that started losing their hair years ago. We also understand that choosing the correct treatment for hair loss is an important decision. Avacor makes it easy. Avacor comes with a one-year money-back guarantee. Think about it. We can help you.
To order Avacor, call 800-724-8491. That's 800-724-8491. Avacor. Call 800-724-8491.
The future of radio. The IBC Radio Network.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Finally, an FM transmitter for your PC that works. Introducing the all-new PCI Max 2005. PCI Max 2005 is a computer card that plugs into any existing PC and that will change the way that you listen to your MP3s or live audio forever. It will effectively change your PC into an FM radio station that is FCC Part 15 legal. For more information, visit their website at pcs-electronics.com.
Are you sick of the same old business talk shows? Are you tired of hearing all the ranting and raving about the Microsofts of this world? Shows macro bias and mega dominated and get all excited when a stock moves up 5%. Boring. Then check out Stock Talk Live, a special business radio talk show on the air each and every stock market day from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Stock Talk Live has unique business content not found anywhere else. The subject is penny stocks, and they're often overlooked huge profit opportunities. Gains of 100, 200, and 1,000% or more happen from time to time with penny stocks. And Stock Talk Live is here to show you the way. In English, this means big money. Fast money, real profit opportunities not found anywhere else. Forget about those silly infomercials that promise quick riches. Learn how to make real money all by yourself. Tune in to Stock Talk Live on the web at stocktalklive.net. Stock Talk Live is owned and operated by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, ticker symbol IBCS.
It's no secret that the trick to making big money on Wall Street is finding out about a company and pre-positioning yourself before it gets discovered. Check out Viper Network Incorporated, ticker symbol VPER. Viper Networks is a diversified technology development company that markets innovative products and services. Viper is becoming widely known for its V-Phone, a revolutionary product for making telephone calls over the internet. With the V-Phone, you can make crystal clear international and long distance calls for the price of a local call. Computer to computer calls cost only a penny per minute. V-Phone connects easily to any personal computer with simple plug and play technology. As with all all investments, you should consult with a financial advisor before getting involved. This announcement is paid for by VPER and is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You could lose some or all of your money. You could make money, too. Learn all about Viper Networks by visiting their website at www.vipernetworks.com. That's www.vipernetworks.com.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't know why George W. Bush was the
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Paid for by Operation Truth, Incorporated.
Citizen blogger Brad Friedman, joined by the other friendly citizen blogger, the Freeway blogger. Freeway, you still there with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, brother. I don't know if you heard the top of the hour. We ended up holding Ray McGovern over because he just had too much stuff to tell us. But we opened the this hour with Highway to Hell. That was for you. So Highway to Hell, Freeway to Love. Take your pick.
I'll take the latter, actually.
Good. Glad to hear.
But, you know, the highways, the freeways, are the things that they're the things that are going to make sure that our grandchildren's grandchildren all have asthma at best. So one argument that I'm fairly quick to deflect is the notion that my signage might be considered littering, and you know, you can't litter a freeway.
No, for you to. To put up signs on a freeway, Freeway Blogger, that's an eyesore. It needs to have a beer can on it, a naked woman on it. That would be fine. But when you put up signs like, where is this here? One of my favorites. How many people have to die before we can listen to the Dixie Chicks again? Good stuff. You know, that's just an eyesore when we could be having a Coors ad in its place. What were you thinking?
Well, I put that was preceded with, "Hey, Clear Channel." theoretically, I was helping them out a little. I think my favorite has to be, "We're all wearing the blue dress now."
Yeah, you know what? I was going to bring that one up, too. "We're all wearing the blue dress now." What's interesting about that, and you know what? I don't know if this matters or not, but maybe on your photographs, on your blog, you should put some dates under them, because I was interested to know, when did you put that up? We're all wearing the blue dress now. What was that after?
Well, I try to keep like a steady flow of the things going up, you know, because they do come down. But that one was done pretty much the second wave after the "Nobody Died When Clinton Lied," which was my first advertising campaign. And I had one.
Did you invent nobody died when Clinton lied?
Yes, that was mine. And
wow.
In fact, that's kind of what started it, because when it came to me, I did what anyone would do and wrote a letter to the editor. I thought, for five words, this says a lot about how I feel. And for some reason, the L.A. Times didn't publish it.
They did.
I thought, well, screw you. I'll publish it myself. And so I started painting it in big letters on signs and putting them all over the freeways of Southern California. And then I was able to Google the phrase and watch it grow. You know, it went from, 70 to 170 to 1,000. And I thought, I introduced a meme, you know, all by my lonesome.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Were you the one who came up with the sign from Halliburton, "Thanks for all the money, sorry about your kids"?
Yep. Actually, except Jesus Bomb, it's all original material.
So that, cut off there for a second. Who would Jesus Bomb?
Yeah, that one was come up. A guy in Santa Barbara came up with that one, and I just loved it so much. The essence, the soul of sign making is reductionism. The shorter and quicker you can make your message, essentially the bigger you can paint it. And so to keep things short, just Bush lied. That's 8 characters that says what people need to hear. I don't even know if Bush lied. Sure seems like he lied, but one thing I do know is that the mainstream media and the information people receive will never include those words. And it's our job to pick up where the mainstream media, simply refuses to tread.
Yeah.
And that job was actually given to us by the founding fathers of this nation. They gave us free speech for a reason, not just because it was a neat idea, but for precisely this kind of situation, when you have a small cabal of murdering thugs taking over the whole deal, and let's call them a complacent media, then frankly, it's not just our right to speak out, it's our obligation in defense of this country.
I agree, and you know what? I don't know if you heard the top of the show. I had a news item, actually something from MyDD.com, another fine blogger who says that a readership of just liberal blogs alone, I guess there's a liberal advertising network, I think that's what it's called, about 57 liberal blogs who have blog ads up there. Readership on those blogs, particularly in the groups, I think below 55 or something, now outpaces all 3 cable news networks combined.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, my job, the way I see it, is to get us out of the chat rooms and into the streets. The only problem with, the left blogosphere,
yep,
is that we're reaching out to the lefties, but we're not the ones we need to convert. We need mom and dad and buddy and sis, and the way to get them is on those freeways.
Give us a call here on the Brad Show. Talk to the legendary freeway blogger if you dare. 323-650-1286 is our number in our last few minutes here with Senior Blogger. We got to get the word out. Now, what have you seen an increase in freeway blogging since you invented this medium, so to speak?
Thanks to the web, yes. When I started doing this, I figured it would sort of grow virally from people seeing the signs and having that kind of eureka moment, hey, I could do that.
Yep.
And I was working in Southern California at first, and the only people who seemed to pick up on it from the freeways itself were the Brothers of Jesus. And so signs saying, honk if you love Jesus, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus, 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 started appearing on the freeways. And I thought, well, great. At least they're speaking out. At least they, figured out the medium. But thanks to the web, people are now sending in pictures from around the country and, utilizing that ever-important cardboard medium. And the big secret is paint the cardboard white first. Too many people are painting black on brown, and it just doesn't show up. The other big secret is bungee cords. All you do is stick the cardboard against the fencing and put a bungee cord behind it, and you're gone.
So no more duct tape?
A little bit of duct tape.
Okay.
A little bit of duct tape, but, you know, too many people are using zip ties and, you know, these sort of overly time-consuming methods of putting the signs up.
What's a, let's see, here's a great sign, speaking of simplicity, Rums Failed. Love that one.
Yeah.
Now, what does a sign like that, actually it looks like a pretty big sign, what does that cost you to get that message out?
Darn near free. That Rums Failed that you're looking at was about 20 feet long. All the cardboard came from dumpsters. I used the cheapest latex possible, and that was actually painted on both sides. So, you know, probably 25,000 people saw that sign. And it might have cost me a dollar. With the really large signs, I do duct tape wire coat hangers to the top, and the wire coat hanger just, you know, snarls right into the fencing really easily and really quickly. That sign took me 20 seconds
tricks,
to put up.
Tricks of the trade from the one and only Freeway Blogger. I do want to give some coverage, too. Check him out at freewayblogger.com. Always entertaining stuff over there. And he's got a knack for simplicity. You'll see it in the signs. You'll see it in his directions on why he's doing this. Read the Freeway Blogger Manifesto on why he's putting up signs on freeways and why you should, too. I agree. But I wanted to give some coverage to taketothehills.org, which as soon as I saw the website, you had pointed me there, I said, this has the trademark of Freeway Blogger, because you give the concept. You say the concept is simple. One, take what you don't need. Two, put it in your car. Three, drive it to the people who need it. That sounds like your handiwork.
Well, that's thanks to the generosity of Paul Newman. That website and that organization has been able to clothe over 10,000 people for just about nothing. You know, for the cost of gas. And it really is such a simple concept because, you know, the problem with this world isn't that there isn't enough stuff. It's the distribution is a bit skewed. And if you want to do something useful, yeah, that's what you do.
All right. We got about 2 minutes left. I do want to get in this real quickly. How'd you get started doing this, Freeway?
That joke of an election in 2000. I was driving by this mattress that was next to the on-ramp I always used, and I was just so pissed when I found out they weren't going to count the votes. And I had been taught that democracy was a place where you counted the damn votes.
No, they counted them. They counted them again.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
And there was this mattress I got tired of looking at, too. And I had a can of spray paint in my car, so I spray painted 1776 through 2000 RIP on the mattress and leaned it up against a palm tree. This was in San Diego. And everyone who drove up that on-ramp for the next 4 hours saw this ugly, sodden mattress, you know, with this ugly spray painting scrawled on it. And, you know, when I came back after 4 hours, it was still standing there. And it would have taken somebody a second, you know. It was 8 feet away from the freeway. And I thought, why didn't that come down? And the reason it didn't come down is because everybody thought the next guy was going to do it. And that's when I kind of realized, hey, you know what? There's something to this. And if you can take advantage of people's laziness and sloth, oh, my goodness, there is almost nothing that can stop you.
You got it right. Hang on. Let's see if we can get a call in incredibly quickly, and then we got to break and go away. Mike in Florida, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mike, what do you got? We got only about 30 seconds. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm curious. What exactly are your political views, left or right, or I mean, where do you lean?
Turn off your radios. Actually, go ahead, cut them off. Freeway Blogger or me?
I'm I'm a little bit to the right of, like, Che Guevara. So I would say probably left of center. But I'm a big fan of America, big fan of this country, and so was my father. And I think that's where we get a lot of our political leanings, is from our parents. And, you know, I will fight for, you know, what I believe this country stands for till it's time to leave.
We got to go, Freeway Blogger. Freewayblogger.com. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Cardboard and paint. That's all it takes.
You got it, brother.
Peace.
Raw Radio. Radio.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't like George W. Bush.
We're talking about the
What's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about? Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Paid for by Operation Truth, Incorporated.
Are you looking for a long-term, high-growth investment? Are you sick of the here-today and gone-tomorrow companies and stock prices that collapse to zero? Just as in life itself, there are no guarantees on Wall Street. But high-risk investors should check out International Broadcasting Corporation, trading on the over-the-counter bulletin board, stock symbol IBCS. IBCS is focused upon building successful publishing, broadcasting, and media ventures. IBCS is the parent company of the IBC Radio Network, a 24/7 satellite distributed all talk radio service. In a little over 2 years, IBC Radio Network has been transformed from an obscure radio service carrying shows found elsewhere into a talk network providing exclusive original material. Shows like Stock Talk Live, believed to be the very first fully interactive 7 hour long business radio talk show focused exclusively on penny stocks. Another hugely popular show is The Lou Gentile Show, paranormal talk radio at its finest. Lou Gentile is not just a talk show host, but a real paranormal investigator. For a conservative political talk show, check out Talk Show America. Each weekday, host JR interacts with his listeners to bring you a unique talk show experience not found anywhere else. Everyone knows the key to success on Wall Street is finding opportunities before they get discovered by the general population. IBCS has recently experienced phenomenal growth and may be on the verge of being discovered. The company is on a mission to make itself a household name. So if you're a high-risk, high-reward investor, we recommend that you take a look at International Broadcasting Corporation, stock symbol IBCS. For more information, visit the website at www.ibcrn.com. That's ibcrn.com. Remember, the stock market is risky and you could lose some or all of your money. You could make money too. This message is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. You should never make risky investments without the consultation of a professional investment advisor. This message is paid for by International Broadcasting Corporation, a publicly traded company, stock symbol IBCS.
The IBC Radio Network, making its way to your hometown.
Out of your advertising dollar,
advertise on the IBC Radio Network. Whether it's news, stocks, politics, or even the paranormal, we've got you covered 24 hours a day. Advertising on radio is not as expensive as you may think. Get your product, service, or even website heard by over 2 million people for as little as $100 a month. Call Mike Belluccio, head of advertising, at 402-742-0493. That's 402-742-0493. Advertising. If you don't do it, nobody knows you're there.
The IBC Radio Network, making its way to your hometown.
Life Enthusiast Co-op offers anti-aging and age reversal supplements that help rejuvenate and enrich your body. You can learn more about these products by calling 1-866-543-3388.
The future of radio, the IBC Radio Network.
Friedman, we're back. Oh, there we go. Now we're back on the Brad Show here for our final five on Raw Radio, my favorite time. We've had so much to jam into this hour. I wanted to set this up. Victoria Parks wrote this song. I want to play it all if I can, based on a gentleman who voted for 50 years in the same precinct in Ohio, and suddenly he went to vote last November, and he was no longer on the voter rolls. I'll try to let it play as much as I can here. VictoriaParks.com. You can download this yourself. Listen to the words. Good stuff.
We stood in lines outside, 3 hours, maybe four. A rainy November 2nd, 2004. All across our nation, too many to ignore. We turned out in numbers they'd never seen before. I should know, dear, I've been voting here since the Second World War. My name is Amos Connolly. Now they're telling me my vote don't matter anymore. They took my name. They purged it from the roll. What they gained cannot compare with what they stole. This is my democracy. Don't you go telling me my vote don't matter anymore. And is not worth fighting for. The fix was in.
Oh, yeah, the fix was in.
That's all she wrote.
Go download the whole song at VictoriaParks.com. Great stuff. I want to thank everybody tonight for a show that didn't get screwed up once. We're hot. One in a row, baby. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night if you missed any portion of the Brad Show. Tomorrow morning, I'm sorry, via bradshow.com. We'll take you to ibcradio.com where you can hear our rebroadcast at 9 a.m. Pacific time through 1 p.m. Pacific time. Out on the East Coast, 12 noon to 4 p.m. Pacific time. Man, a good show. No Brad News Bears this week. Everything just worked. I have no idea how that could have possibly happened. Oh, I know. We're out of Gregory Hayner's studio, and I think we're coming back. Thank you, Gregory. Can you see me, Gregory? You rock, brother. We may have found our home base finally right here, high atop the Hollywood Hills in our secret location. I want to thank our intrepid engineer, Eddie Ajamian, who's going away for a couple months, going canoeing. He was looking forward to it before, but now that things are working, he's like, oh, I'd like to stay. Well, we'd like you to stay too, Eddie. Thank you for getting us here and finding our home base before you scrammed. You rock, brother, and you deserve some rest. Then there is the lovely Kat Lestrange. We have no idea what she does. Oh, no, we do know what she does. I got in trouble last week when I said that. She was screening our calls tonight and she did one hell of a job producing tonight's show. Thank you, Kat. You rock. Hat tip to our special ops man out there in the field, David Edwards. Hey, David, thank you for everything. Really appreciate all the help on audio clips and much more. Our best to Jamie Robledo, wherever you may be. And thanking our guests tonight, Andrea Lindsay, Bob Fetrakis, Ray McGovern, the Freeway Blogger, Great American Heroes all, and I mean it, damn it. Thanks to the good folks over at RawStory.com, Kira for keeping an eye on the Brad Blog chat room while Winter Patriot was just, oh, what a slacker. Okay, he'll be back next week as well. And to our sponsors, TrueBlueLiberal.com, really appreciate your support, guys. VotersUnite.org, OpTruth.org, SeeingTheForest.com, and DateOfReturn.com. How much time do I have left? Holy cow, I'm out of here in 20 seconds. We will see you guys next week if the democracy and radio gods are with us once again. Thank you, guys, all of you in the Brad Blog chat room, and for everybody for keeping up the good fight. Call C-SPAN. Tell them to carry John Conyers. We'll see you next week on Raw Radio.
Raw Radio. Radio. Radio.